Hello and welcome everybody to today's News Tonight, episode 185. This is, of course, the weeknight news show where we're joined by special guests, our lovely patrons, and our amazing YouTube audience to discuss the day's gaming news. I'm your host for today, Ash Paulson, and I'm joined, as always, by my very good friend and GVG co-founder, Derek Bittner, our superstar art director, Daniel Alba, and our very special guest, beloved GVG community member and all-around great guy, Ben, a.k.a. Hootio. Ben, how's it going, man?
It's going great. I'm glad to be on here.
We're happy to have you here. I know you reached out a little while ago saying you wanted to be on the show, and I'm really glad we were able to make that happen. And I appreciate you taking some time out of your day to hang out with us nerds over here. This is great,
of course.
We were talking Pokemon before we started, so that was, that was always a good time, because it's so easy to talk about Pokemon right now.
Exactly. I wanted to get a feel for you know, what you're playing, what you've been up to lately. So it sounds like you're playing, like many of us, Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Yeah, I've got like 50 hours in it already.
50
I'm almost, hours. I'm almost done with post-game, So I'm enjoying it, to say the least.
Nice, nice. I am as well. I'm still kind of in the middle on it. I haven't, like, fully fallen in love with it yet, but I also am not, like, bouncing off of it yet either. I'm still just kind of, like, figuring it out and feeling it out and seeing if I want to stick with it. But so far, I'm liking it enough. But I'm still super in the early game. I'm still going to I just got the quest to go fight the first – what I think is, like, the first boss, as it were, I think.
Noble
Pokemon, that's what it is. So, and I've already gotten 2 stars in my Pokedex, so apparently I've been doing too much of the
main you're kind of catching up to where it is
me
now.
As well. I definitely did a lot of exploring.
Everyone approaches it differently, that's for sure.
Yeah, which is all fine. I should be, I think I should be in pretty good shape to have the review ready early next week.
Awesome.
Looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm definitely, I know you've been really playing a lot of it, Derek, so I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on it. Yeah, for sure. And speaking of things I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on, that's one of our main news stories for the day. But before we get there, I did want to offer a quick update on a news story that we reported on a couple of days ago. Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, hinting that he's going to be in a big new upcoming video game movie that's going to be badass. We all speculated maybe it was Gears of War, maybe it was Call of Duty, who knows. Apparently, report suggests it's Call of Duty. Okay. I love The Rock. I enjoy him as an actor. He seems like a really cool guy. I'd love to have a beer with him. I love watching him on screen, but I couldn't care less about the idea of a Call of Duty movie. No. I just
What makes this different than any other freaking war movie out there?
Exactly, exactly. Ben, are you playing anything other than Pokemon right now, or are you just completely focused on that?
I'm going to Distant Worlds at the end of March, so I want to binge through all of the all of the Final Fantasy games I haven't finished yet. So I got like halfway through 5, and then Pokemon came out, so I pressed pause on that for a bit. But
fair enough,
understandable.
Yeah,
dude, you're gonna have a. Have you been to a Final Fantasy orchestra concert before?
No, I have not.
I am so excited for you. I've been to like probably 7 or 8 in my life over the years, and they're always just the best time. You're gonna have a wonderful, wonderful time.
So we're going to Distant Worlds, and we're also going to a New World, which is like the smaller one.
Yeah,
but yeah, those are like 3 weeks apart from each other, so it's gonna be
very cool,
very packed.
I don't think even I've been to a New World. Maybe I have, but I've been to several Distant Worlds.
I don't think I've ever heard of a New World.
Yeah,
they say it's like a more intimate experience, a more intimate orchestra, I guess is what it is. I've been trying not to spoil myself on exactly what the music sounds like, because the ticket's already bought. I'm going anyways, so I'd rather just hear it in person. So
I'm so excited for you. I just recently went to the FF7 remake concert here in LA.
I'm jealous.
And that was I talked about it before on the show after I went, but it was just amazing. And you're going to have such a good time. I'm so excited for you. I could talk about video game music forever. And as it stands, or as it turns out, we're going to be talking about video game music in kind of a sad context later on today for one of our news stories. Okay, we do have some super chats before we get going. First, King Koopa with $5. Thank you very much, saying, hopefully y'all are more prepared for the freeze than Texas is right now. Hope y'all have a good show. Well, thank you very much. We need the freeze here in LA. It's too freaking hot here all the time. Give me that snow. Please bring some of that ice over here. Send it all over here, please. I'll take it. Next is $6.90, the funny number. from RecBCQ, thank you very, very much, saying, how y'all doing today? My day has been going great, so I'm hoping to pass some good vibes on to all of you and a giggle for the donation. Well, thank you. And I'm so glad to hear day is going great, RecBCQ. And we're always happy to see you in our audience and hang out with you in our community. So thank you. And then finally, we have $2 from Sonic and Mega Man 531 with one of their classic matchups, Splatoon Edition Inklings versus Octolings. You choose. I got to go with the Inklings. I've always liked their designs more than the Octolings personally, but I feel like they're pretty much matched evenly power-wise, right?
Theoretically. I feel like
they're matched evenly design-wise.
Yeah, I kind of prefer the Octoling design. As soon as I got the chance to be an Octoling and saw the design, I was like, yeah, I'm going to that. So
fair enough.
Making me pick between favorite children. But yeah, pretty much. If I had to choose, it'd be Octoling, probably. Just feels fresher, fair enough. I guess.
Classic Inklings here, honestly.
Gotcha. Oh, we just had a few more Super Chats come in. All right, we'll do a couple more of these, and then we'll go on and move on to the news and read out the rest of the Super Chats later today. First off is $5 from K9 Biscuits, saying the entire GVG crew and all of its guests versus John Cartwright with a loaded coconut gun and Kitty Kong on his side.
Oh, man.
Man. I mean, I'm putting Ash in front of me if there's a coconut getting shot at me, because that's going to kill you.
And I'm putting Daniel and Steve and Brandon in front of both of us, Derek, because I don't want to get hit with coconuts either.
I see. John's a powerful force, and he has Kitty Kong on his side.
He does, but Kitty Kong's just dead weight, right? Like, if John's the Dixie Kong,
well, he runs out of coconuts, so he'll awesome just fire Kitty Kong.
Be live ammo.
That's true. I think if it weren't for Kitty Kong, this would be a dead heat, but I think Kitty Kong might make it. Or sorry, if it weren't for Kitty Kong, John would win. But because he's saddled by Kitty Kong, I think this might be a draw. I think we might be looking at a dead heat here. Thank you, K9 Biscuits, for the fun question. And then one more super chat for now. $5 from Blindman V2, saying, hey, y'all, how accessible is Shovel Knight? Just tried Dead Cells. No tutorial whatsoever. Mina was always cool on your stream. Shovel Knight is super accessible. And in fact, it has kind of an adjustable difficulty setting where you can destroy checkpoints if you want for extra loot. And of course, then you can't, if you die, you don't hit those checkpoints. But if you don't care about the extra loot, you can use all the checkpoints in every level, and they're very liberal. The game looks like an NES game, but it's not NES hard by any means. And I would say it's very accessible. Personally.
Yeah, it's not hard.
Really got like that magical difficulty where it's accessible for people who aren't even used to 2D platformers, but really fun for anyone that's a veteran of those kind of that genre of games.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that's it for now for the Super Chats. We do have a couple more, but I'll read them out later on in the show because I do want to get to the news. And Blindman, you did offer me my perfect segue into our first news story. And that is, of course, Yacht Club's brand new IP that they just announced yesterday, Mina the Hollower. Let's get that up on screen. So, as you all know, if you were here to react with us to the Yacht Club Games Presents, we know that their big Megaton announcement was their new game, Mina the Hollower, clearly inspired directly by Link's Awakening and Castlevania, and they say a little Bloodborne thrown in there, which I find interesting. But as soon as I saw what this game looks like and how it's playing, I'm like, hook this shit right into my veins. This looks awesome. But you guys already know that Daniel and I are excited about this. Derek, you weren't there for us, and you weren't there with us to react, unfortunately. So I want to hear your thoughts. But Ben, you're our special guest of the day. So I want to hear your thoughts. How are you feeling about Mina, the Hollow? All right.
Not Hollow Knight. Shovel Knight is one of my favorite indie games, like, period. So I have full faith that this is going to be a fantastic game. Like, normally, if I saw this from any other company, I might not be so interested. But their pedigree is just very good.
Indeed. Yeah. Indeed. Yeah. It is. Yacht Club, they have a sterling track record, in my opinion. Derek, I really wish we could have had you there, man, because obviously you love Castlevania the way I love Mega Man. And I really want to hear your thoughts on this. How are you feeling about it, man?
It's a weird thing because I went from, I just looked up like, what did I miss? What happened here that, yeah, you know, I unfortunately had to miss the show for just because of the timing of it all. And I looked at it and like, I wasn't sure at first because it's just the piecemeal way I got it. It wasn't just, here's the trailer. But as soon as I saw the trailer and what it was going for, I'm like, oh, I kind of dig this because I immediately got the Castlevania vibes. There are some really cool ideas here. There's the fact that it's only two buttons and it still looks very accessible. Hopefully they take care of some of those issues that Link's Awakening has where you constantly have to swap sub weapons. I hope they don't have the faults in there. They do say modernize, but I get the feeling it's going to be more like maybe use the shoulder buttons to change things up or something to that effect because yeah. But yeah, it looks extremely solid. I never would have thought to put Castlevania in a top-down perspective. And this shows it works. This shows it is completely viable. There's some really clever ideas in here. I immediately thought Castlevania as soon as Mina threw an axe. Like that is straight up the axe arc from Castlevania.
Yeah.
Then they also one of the sub weapons she has is a knife, but she does something really cool with it. Where it's kind of boomerang like, where it sends out the she sends out the knife, it hits the enemy, comes back towards her, and then she whips the knife to send it back out again. That is cool.
Yeah.
That is a nice detail really cool that I've never seen before, and I love the idea of it. Bosses look great, art style looks great. It all just looks like a very solid game. Not sure why they're going the Kickstarter route. That's one thing I'm like a little unsure about. It's like, all right, sure, but I don't think you guys really need it. But okay, sure.
Yeah, and that's the one
goal very quickly.
It was like 12 hours and they met that goal. Mm-hmm. Half a day.
Which was just over $300,000, their initial funding goal.
Which of course it would.
Of course it would. There's no doubt.
Yeah. And they've now since, of course, added stretch goals because they've just blasted through their funding goals so quickly. The first two that have already been met are the sound test and cheat codes. And we'll find out what else they're going to add because they're clearly going to smash through at least a few more of those stretch goals.
Well, they haven't actually reached those yet. They're at 476,000 right now, so they haven't even reached the first.
Oh, my bad. I misread the image. Okay, so at 511,000, they'll hit a sound test. And then these numbers are just so specific. $511,000, 503. Or $511,503. It's so weird. It's like a very specific number. And then 661, 503 for cheat codes. And yeah, so I don't quite know how they came up with those numbers, but I agree with you, Derek. And I mentioned this on the stream yesterday. The Kickstarter thing kind of rubs me the wrong way just a little bit. And they even admit on the Kickstarter page for this that they have the funds to develop it internally and are, and that they're mainly doing the Kickstarter so that they can develop it in a community sense or in a community-focused way, much like they did the original Shovel Knight. And I get where they're coming from, but at the same time, they've been so vocal about how successful they've become because of Shovel Knight that I don't love that this is a Kickstarter. And plus, it's also hard to want to back any Kickstarter projects now anyway because they've embraced NFTs, and I don't want to support that.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult for me to want to back this on Kickstarter. Day zero in terms of the game itself. I can't wait. Yeah. I love Yacht Club. I love their output. Can't wait for this game. But the Kickstarter thing, I'm not loving, and that's a bit of a downer. But on the other side, or on the other hand, a bit of an upper is the fact that we now already know that Jake Kaufman is doing the music. That was hugely important to me to find out. Jake Kaufman is on the soundtrack. Okay. Yeah, and I can't. And based on what we've already heard and what we've seen in the game, I'm just so excited for this. It's going to be so cool. There aren't very many I feel like Link's Awakening specifically inspired games out there. The only one I can think of off the top of my head is Blossom Tales, and I feel like that's just as much a Link to the Past inspired, or just overall 2D Zelda inspired, as it is Link's Awakening. But this specifically looks and evokes Link's Awakening, and that excites me so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that game, Blossom Tales, I mean, I played Blossom Tales way back when it first came out on Switch, the Switch version.
Yeah.
And it feels like a Zelda game, like a top-down perspective Zelda game, but this one really encaptures like that Game Boy Color feel. Like this is like, you look at Mina's sprite and that's straight out of a Game Boy Color game from Link's Awakening or the Oracle games.
Oh, yeah.
And works so well with what they're trying to accomplish here. And Mina's a well-designed character as well. I'm looking at some of the characters that are on here.
She kind of looks like Miss Frisbee or whatever. She looks like she's from Rats of Nim. the character design straight out of that. It's and that's a good thing to pull from as far as mouse designs. Plus, as far as in-game sprite, super cute.
Oh, so cute.
They're so expressive too. Like, I love how everything flows together. Like, it's everything's animated so well to the point where it's like, this game looks well, like very well made and completed already as far as what they played through. Because they played through a lot during the G4 section that they spent like at least half an hour on. So I gotta wonder how far they are in development here, even though it might just be all front loaded with development just for what they showed off.
By the way, totally calling it now. Baron Lionel's the villain.
Possibly, yeah.
I can see Thorn being a alt character, like a other playable character. I feel like that's going to be a stretch goal, is have Thorn be a playable character, because you know, Lance, having a Lance character is common in Castlevania, thanks to Bloodlines. I think it works.
I also am slightly reminded of Freya from Final Fantasy IX when I look at Mina, which is always a good thing, because she was one of my favorite characters in IX, so I definitely reminded of her. I think the other thing I want to touch on before we move on is the release date or the release period. And obviously, we're all so excited for this game, but it does sting a little bit to know that this isn't coming out till December 2023. And at the earliest, it could be delayed. And that's, you know, that's almost 2 years away.
Yeah.
And
ways out. Yeah.
But what we've seen, like what we saw in the presentation yesterday, was looking so polished that I have to imagine that it must be a very narrow vertical slice of the game. Mm-hmm. Because if not, it looks like it's just about ready already, you know. So it has to be very specific parts that they're showing off that are as polished as they are. And it makes me wonder, how big is this game going to be? How expansive? Because 2 more years, and it already looks like it's so polished.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure on that.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say another cool thing, and I know an indie game that Daniel's been championing is, as part of their update, they also highlighted the fact that Bo launched their Kickstarter on the same day. And that actually, it's cool to see them like highlight another indie game trying to get funded. And hey, they have been funded. They had a $35,000 goal. It's already hit $45,000. So, Bo on the way to the Switch already. So, that's cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Hey, I'm always down for more Metroidvanias.
Yes.
Yeah.
Same.
Hope we can get more information on Bo here at some point. Hopefully, we'll see. I definitely want to give people a look at that game if we can get more eyes on it, because the developer is very cool about what they're doing and very proactive of getting the word out. But these Kickstarters, they definitely get the word out.
Yeah.
Yeah. They certainly do. And speaking of Kickstarters, I do agree with both Denim McJeans and Juan Delgado in our live audience patron chat. This is probably going to get delayed into at least early 2024. That might be at the latest, but usually games do get a little delayed. So.
It all depends on what they what their stretch goals are, you know?
Right.
Because sometimes those can take a lot of time, and look how long the stretch goals of Shovel Knight took. They might try to avoid that, because I can almost see them like alternate playable character. Full story mode for that character.
Yeah.
Once again.
Yeah. So. But we'll see. Long story short, we're all obviously, you know, really excited about Mina. Don't love the Kickstarter angle for this, but, you know, when it comes out, this will be a day zero / review game for me. I cannot wait for this. Derek and I might have to fight to the death for it, but it'll be fun.
Very different
we'll settle angles.
Ask him for 2 copies because. You know,
yeah, that's true. Or I'm buddies with the Yacht Club crew, so they might do that for us. Hopefully, if you're watching Yacht Club, please do love too, so we can both review it. All right, well, we do have some more news to talk about today, but before that, let's go through a few more of these super chats. First is Aaron S with $4.99. Thank you very much. Saying, finished Fire Emblem Radiant Dawn last night. Which game should I play next? Silent Hill 2 or Resident Evil 3 on PS1? I'm going to say Silent Hill 2 just because I'm a Silent Hill stan. Resident Evil's great, but I love Silent Hill. So my vote goes to Silent Hill 2.
Go play another Fire Emblem? I think they need a little break after, especially after Radiant Dawn.
Yeah, that's a really long one. So
yeah.
Just give it, yeah.
Yeah.
I've not played Resident Evil 3 myself, so I probably Silent Hill 2. That's a night. That's a quick 8-hour game, though. Won't take too long.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both fairly short.
Yeah.
What about you, Ben?
I haven't played Silent Hill 2 or Resident Evil 3 or Fire Emblem Radiant Dawn, so I have no input here. Don't play Final Fantasy.
Oh, there you go. Perfect.
Nice. Thank you, Aaron. And next up is JPK Dude 1 with $5. Thank you very much. Saying, yo, Hootio, hope you have fun at Distant Worlds. Wish I could go.
Yeah, why don't you bring all us along? What the heck?
Yeah. I know, right? Wish we could all go. Yeah. I want to go again.
Yeah, but, I wish you could come too, JPK Dude 1. It really sucks that you can't.
Yeah. We all want to go with you, man. Jeez. No, but thank you, JBK.
He's driving. he's one of the drivers with us.
Nice. So, you're making them drive and not even letting them come to the concert. My God. No, I know.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you for your generosity, JBK, dude. Next up is $2 from Trace Hall. Thank you very much. Saying, love you, gamers. Stay icy this weekend from Tennessee. I wish I could. If ice existed, if icy weather existed in Los Angeles, you bet your ass I'd be icy this weekend, but
no,
I don't have that.
I'll just
that
take rain at this point.
Yeah, just rain would be nice.
We had half an inch of snow in Utah today, and we all basically shut down for it.
Wow.
No thank you to ice and snow.
Okay. Yeah. All right, then finally, for now, we have $2 from Lizard81288. Thank you very much. Saying WayForward also had a Kickstarter for Shantae. That is true, and I remember feeling a little bit weird about that at the time as well. So, you know, it obviously turned out to be a great game, but
I feel like that one is maybe a little more justified just because it was first time they had Shantae on a console.
That's true. That's true.
Portable. So
that is also true. Yeah. Yeah. So I remember thinking that was a little bit odd, but Derek makes a good point. But the game turned out great. So, and I have very little doubt that Mina will turn out great as well. And if there's anyone I would trust on Kickstarter, it's Yacht Club, given how just beautifully they delivered on all their promises with Shovel Knight. So it's really just Kickstarter I don't want to support, not Yacht Club. Hustlebum with a great point saying that's what icy coffee is for. Well, you know what? That is true. That's why I got this right here. Hell yeah. I'll just have to drink extra iced coffee this weekend, which maybe isn't safe since I already drink so much of it. But anyway, I digress. Let's go ahead and move on to our next news story, which that just makes the Wii U look even sadder in hindsight. But let's get that up on screen. So I don't want to cause any misunderstandings or anything. I have a soft spot in my heart for the Wii U. However, it is by any definition a flop, or it was. And we have that redefined today with some news from Nintendo Life that the PS5 has outsold the Wii U in just over a year of availability. For some direct numbers, we've got the PS5 sold 17.3 million units as of December 31st of last year, and it launched, of course, in November 2020. And the Wii U, which launched in 2012, only sold 13.56 million in its 7 years at market. All the way up to December 31st, 2019. So it unfortunately underlines just how horrifically how horrific a flop the Wii U really was. I mean, we already knew that, but seeing it in such a stark way with these numbers just really underlines it. And man, Wii U, I love you. I still have a soft spot for you. I enjoyed my time with Wii U, but oof, it outsold it in just over a year.
With all the shortages
I think that's the part. Thank you, Daniel.
And with, that's
it's
true.
The shortages.
Yeah, and like, amidst that's true. Yeah, my and God. Amid the shortages, which makes it even worse. And
this is so tragic.
Yeah.
I love the Wii U so much. This is really sad.
Yeah. But I love my Nintendo Land and Xenoblade Chronicles X machine right now, because that's pretty much the only games that we can play exclusively on there at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
My good buddy Jansen is here in the live audience patron chat saying something I agree with, saying I blame the name. Everyone thought it was an accessory. Yeah, the marketing and the messaging behind Wii U was abysmal, and that is 100% the reason, or one of the reasons, why the Wii U flopped so badly. It sounds like an add-on to the Wii. It doesn't sound like its own console, or it's a follow-up to the Wii. It sounds like an add-on, an accessory, like you said,
yeah,
a peripheral, like a camera or something.
I still remember all the way back to the original announcement when they showed it off. It was just like sitting there in the corner of the TV, and they showed off just the gamepad, and it's like, oh, that's an accessory for the add-on for the Wii.
Yeah.
And it absolutely had to go retract everything they were talking about and clarify what it was. And yeah, it just kind of flopped out the gate, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And the John Hotick says, Wii U may be a flop, but it's my flop, and that's exactly how I feel about it.
Nice. Nice.
I love it. I love my flop.
As Aaron Luxcare also points out, didn't the Switch outsell the Wii U in less than a year? And yeah, I mean, and as Rob also points out, literally every console has outsold the Wii U at this point. So maybe not literally. I mean, I don't think GameCon did, but yeah. Most of them, most of the big ones did. And yeah, so it's just another L for the Wii U. But I love that.
It still has the only other really good Yoshi game.
That is true. Woolly World was probably my second favorite Yoshi game, and it's locked to the Wii U, unfortunately. It was way better than Crafted World.
And see, this is the problem. Also got those... It's locked to the Wii U, unfortunately. It's not like, yes, the Wii U, I can go back and play. It's like, stuck on that system. Rescue it.
Yeah.
I love it, but I don't want to pull it out again. I want these Zelda remasters on Switch. I want everything.
Yeah,
everything
those too.
It's wild to me that they aren't already.
Right.
Yeah. Those have to be coming. They're like, it would not make sense to lock Wind Waker HD and Twilight Princess HD to the Wii U. It just that can't not be the
case. Yeah, they just
when
have
does
to
use... Nintendo ever make sense? Let's be real.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm not holding out any hope for Yoshi's Woolly World to come to the Switch, but I think the Zelda.
I mean, as everybody's pointing out, it did come to the 3DS, but that's not the best version.
It's not. It's not the best version.
You got to have it look pretty.
And the 3DS is you know, sunsetted now, too. So it really, you can play it on the 3DS, and it's accessible, but it's not the best version of the game to play. That's just such a cozy game to use the, one of our favorite words of our good friend John Cartwright. It is such a cozy, cozy game, Yoshi's Woolly World. And I just feel like it's a game that deserves to be experienced on the big screen. Just, it's a game you want to be as comfortable as playing while you're playing.
Right. Also, the 3DS has been skyrocketing in price, so there's that too.
Oh, really?
There is that as well.
Even if you had, or even if you wanted to play it on 3DS, still kind of hard to get a hold of now. So.
My God.
Yeah. But as I said, it's another L for the Wii U, but I will personally always hold love in my heart for the Wii U. The Wii U walks so the Switch could run. I don't think we'd have the Switch in the form we do if not for the Wii U.
Due to working at Game Explained, Wii U was the console I kind of played the most at the time.
Yeah.
I put a lot of hours into that console despite its issues. So,
it's how I found you guys watching your.
Right.
I think it was Mario 3D World videos way back when.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That whole era,
Mm-hmm. Wii U will always, always have the honor, the very unique honor of being the console that brought Mega Man to Smash on the big screen. And I will always love it for that. Smash 4, to me, still having being able to play as Mega Man in Smash on the big screen was just a whole new level of exciting, even after having him in Smash 3DS. So it'll always be special to me and always have a special place in my heart. But I do think we've probably talked about the Wii U's failures as much as we need to.
Hold on. Juan Delgado mentioned Sonic and Zelda World for Sonic Lost World, and that's not been ported anywhere.
That's true.
Yeah.
There's a good reason to have a Wii U.
Hey, perfect.
This is really cool. This is not Wii U related, but Rob Arman X says, breaking news, a demo for the fan remake of Persona 4 on Game Boy is live. I didn't even know there was a fan remake of P4 on Game Boy.
I've not heard of
that. That's so cool. That I need to see after the show. That's really cool. Okay, well, let's go ahead and read out a few more Super Chats before we move on with the rest of the news. First off, we have $5 Canadian from The Chicken, saying, been a fan of you guys for a while. Glad to see your new channel is doing well. When is the next Derek Paper Mario 64 stream?
I don't think I streamed that at all. I mean, it was, you can find my original Paper Mario 64 stream on my personal channel. I have all my old VOD streams up on there. That's at Bit Nerd Games, but I've not replayed it at all since that point. So, not sure which one you're talking about there, but I at this point I've played all the Paper Mario games. So yeah.
Right. Well, thank you for following us here. Yeah, thank you. We're really appreciative that you've been following our work for this long. We really appreciate you being here in our audience. But stay away from Steve, because as you might know, Steve loves chicken. So I don't think you want to get anywhere near him. He eats a lot of chicken. Your name is The Chicken.
Oh, no.
I'm looking out for your safety, man. I'm looking out for you. next up is $2.
You'll be his wingman.
Thank you. Oh, I like it. Nicely done. Azran, you got some competition today, man. Next up is $2 more from RecBCQ saying, Mina looks dope and I'm excited. Same. I completely co-sign on that. Yeah. I think we all do. Yep. And then, as you mentioned earlier, Ben, Vedran Hotik with $2 saying, Wii U may be a flop, but it's my flop. And yeah, couldn't have said
my flop.
Yeah. And then finally, we have $5 Canadian from Jared Helder. Thank you so much, saying, I'm playing Yakuza Like a Dragon in Japanese because it's set in Japan and skimming through dialogue sounds better. Do you guys have a general preference? I actually really like the dub in Like a Dragon. I get, making it more authentic by playing through it in Japanese, and I think that's a perfectly viable way to go. And I switched back and forth for a while, but I ultimately landed on the dub just because I think the dub is great, and I think all the actors did a really good job, Ichiban and Nanba in particular. So I don't think there's a wrong answer, but I had to go with the dub myself. What about you? Have any of you played Yakuza 7?
No.
I've not touched Yakuza yet, but I have a feeling that just the way I'm probably going to eventually play those games, I'm going to play mostly in Japanese just because it envelops you in that world.
Totally. I get it. Even more so. I think the main reason I played the dub is primarily Nanba. I think his actor captures the essence of that character so perfectly. And he makes me laugh every time he goes, itchy. he has like a victory thing after battle where he'll like scratch. He's like, oh, itchy. And he's great. I love Nanba. I love that game. But we do have some other stuff to talk about today. So let's go ahead and move on to our next news story, which could potentially spell trouble for Microsoft's Activision acquisition. Let's go ahead and get that up on screen. So this comes by way of Video Games Chronicle. And a break from the norm, the FTC is reportedly stepping in to review the Microsoft Activision deal. Now, this is something that's usually handled by the Justice Department, but according to Bloomberg, the FTC specifically is stepping in to, kind of review this deal over antitrust concerns. So it's not quite a done deal yet. I'm not an expert in legal matters whatsoever, so I can't say how much this could spell trouble for the deal going through. But it is odd, for sure, and it is notable that the FTC is specifically stepping in to investigate this with the Justice Department instead of just leaving it to the Justice Department, as is normally done with stuff like this. Of course, Microsoft hasn't commented, the FTC hasn't commented, but some experts in the field have weighed in, and the general consensus seems to be that the big issue is Call of Duty, and if that becomes a Microsoft exclusive. Because that's where the antitrust concerns could really come in, with Call of Duty being such a massive franchise. Of course, we already know that Microsoft said they plan to keep making some Activision Blizzard games for PlayStation consoles. And Phil Spencer said it's not their intent to pull communities away from that platform, but that's just for the short term. We don't know if they're going to ultimately pull Call of Duty away from PlayStation in the long term. So we don't, it's just kind of all up in the air right now. But my personal read on it is that it doesn't mean the deal's in trouble, but that it could be modified in some way, mm-hmm. by mandate of, mm-hmm. of the FTC. But how are you guys feeling about this?
I don't think this is going to be a holdup. I just don't think this is going to be a holdup. I think this is just maybe some weird wrinkles here and there, but. Mm. I don't know. I feel like it's not going to really be an issue. I feel like Disney buying Fox was a bigger issue of antitrust than this. Maybe I could be wrong there, but I don't know. I just don't think they're going to stop anything. I think it's just sort of regulations. That's a little strange, but yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I don't think that they're going to come in and just scuttle the whole deal. I think if anything, there might be some sort of mandate like, hey, certain things need to be tweaked, but I just don't see this breaking down personally. But I guess it does maybe depend primarily on Call of Duty. I could see that that would be a huge antitrust concern if Microsoft were to strong arm this whole thing and be like, no, Call of Duty is ultimately going to be exclusive to Xbox. And that may be a little bit unhealthy for competition. But beyond that, I don't necessarily see this scuttling the deal in any significant way.
Yeah,
more or less the same thoughts. Yeah.
And as our good friend Becca's Live points out in the live audience patron chat, anytime Microsoft gets involved with acquiring companies, the government gets involved way back since the 90s, which is true, you know, or at least I mean, that's certainly a good point. And yeah, that's why I kind of like, I think it's notable that the FTC is stepping in, but I don't think it's going to spell the end for Microsoft. But Phil might be sweating. That's why I put him sweating on our thumbnail today, because might be sweating a little bit about this. I don't know. I don't know the guy. But
he's probably chill. It's like, oh, we can ram our way through this.
Right. Yeah. Right, exactly. So it does seem that as though most people in our patron chat agree that this is probably going to be, you know, the deal's probably going to survive this, and it's not going to be the end.
They'll take a closer look, see what the plans are, see if there's anything truly upsetting. But these companies know how to avoid this sort of thing, you know.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's been how many years? And they know how to work the system in their favor,
right? And I'm so torn too on whether I would want it to be scuttled, because on one hand, I don't love the consolidation angle. We've talked about that. We don't need to get into that, you know, in depth again. But on the other hand, Activision Blizzard employees do seem to think that things are going to get better for them under Microsoft stewardship and with Bobby Kotick exiting and everything. And I want that for them. So it's hard to say if it would be a good thing if the FTC did, you know, kind of, you know, shit in the punch bowl, as my dad would say, or be a turd in the punch bowl, I think is what he says. One of those two. That's what he says. But yeah, so it sounds as though we've kind of run the course on this. Is there anything else you guys wanted to add before we move on?
I feel like I'm not well-versed enough in this sort of thing to really have an opinion.
Yeah, it's really something that you have to... It's just such an ongoing thing. There's just this kind of like weariness from it after hearing about it for so long, and then you hear this sort of thing. And yeah, I mean, Phil Spencer has to have an idea of what's been happening and kind of knowing like this kind of stuff's going to happen during a company that has so much press talking about it, so... it's going to be something that just kind of blows over at a certain point, and they're just going to keep on going on with what they've been doing.
Yeah, pretty much what Daniel says.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. Cool. All right. Well, then I think we pretty much wrapped up our discussion on that. We do have one more super chat in the meantime, though, from Admiral Prawn with $5. Thank you so much. Saying, Ash, if person wants to comprehend that he must the square who study at the square... The knowledge of the dark, the study hopeless, in fire of water. I'm sorry.
I think you're going on a quest. That sounds like you're going on a quest, Ash. And I wish you great. I hope your hero's journey goes well.
You've accepted a side quest.
Okay. I'm going on a quest, apparently. I better tell my wife. Yeah. Well, I got my party. And my party's right here. The GBG crew, Ben. You know, that's my party. I choose to quest with all of you.
Oh, no. I'm part of the I'm part of the hometown that gets wiped out. You need to avenge me.
No, give yourself more credit.
That's dark, man. That's dark. I don't want you to be wiped out at the beginning. Well, thank you, Admiral Prawn. I can't say I completely understand, but if you're sending me on a quest, then as long as it's a righteous one, I'm down. Let's go. I'll just let my wife know that I'm not going to be around for a while. But thank you so much for the generosity and for your donation. And another one just came in from Black Ninja, $5. Thank you very much. Saying, completely out of nowhere, but if you want Wii games, you should buy now, because you never know when they will be the new GameCube secondhand market. Same with 3DS. I completely agree.
Yeah, you never know.
And it's wild just how completely different the used game market is here versus Japan. Because I remember the first time I went to Japan and bought like some old Famicom and Super Famicom games, I almost didn't believe that I wasn't just buying empty boxes, because they were so cheap. You can get Chrono Trigger new in box and on the Super Famicom for like 1,200 yen, or at least you could years ago. I don't know if you can now, which is like $12. And I remember I just couldn't believe it at the time. And it's just so different from what it's like here, where used game prices are so jacked
up. After your trip to Japan, you got me a copy of Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah.
Japanese.
Yeah, no, I got you FF6. Yeah, I brought back a few games for the whole GX crew. So, and it was so affordable. It was wild. And I love Stardust Whip. I think in reference to the previous super chat that confused me, saying this stream is now important to the Kingdom Hearts story. Nice.
Fair enough.
Very nice. I love it. And then we also just got one more super chat right now from our good friend Titus Malvolio for $5. Thank you. No message, just a donation of $5. Well, thank you very much,
thank
Titus.
You.
We love you, and we appreciate having you in our community, man. Okay. So we do have a couple more news stories to get to today. And this is, as I mentioned earlier, the video game music related news story. And as much as I love video game music, we all do here at GVG, this is not the most positive story. So let's get that up on screen. So the great Gilva Sunner, known as an incredible repository of high quality video game music rips on YouTube, is going to be shutting down their channel after so many years. Because they've gotten a combined 3,500 copyright claims or blocks from Nintendo over the past few days. And they say in a tweet that they think there are likely many more to follow still. And I can't blame them for feeling like it's not worth carrying on. I mean, I can't even imagine.
They've gone through this sort of thing so many times over the years. So
yeah.
The fact that they're finally just giving up, it feels... feels like they're finally getting a break, at least. It is very sad to see. This is a channel I've used so many times in the past.
Oh, I think everybody on YouTube has used it because it's just an easy way to get good background music.
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely. And in their last tweet about this, they say, "I want to thank you for the 11 plus years of support. They've been doing this for over 11 years." You know, I'm gonna get the thing that everybody or some people say out of the way right now. Yes, Nintendo are within their legal rights to do this. Of course they are. That's not the point here. We're not here to defend Nintendo doing this just because they are legally allowed to.
Also, Gilbert Sonner never monetized it. And Nintendo doesn't have most of these things available for people to purchase.
Exactly. It's not as though it would be one thing if Nintendo made their music available in other ways that people can still consume the music, even paying for it, but they don't even do that. So they're essentially just stepping in to, you know, claim their copyrights and take away all this music from everybody without offering an alternative. Like, and that's what sucks. You know, no one's arguing that they don't have the right to do this. Of course they do. These are their IPs, but that doesn't mean they should. And again, it would be different if Gilva Sunner was monetizing this stuff, but they're not. And while it's legally sound, it feels so gross that they're doing this, and it's just such a bummer.
Yeah, I feel so bad for them. Like, I've been following them and their music since they've been uploading as Gilva Sunner was like Silva Gunner, and before that they were like Timmy Turner's dad or something like that. Like when they're very
I forgot about channel. That Timmy Turner's oh, dad
way
yeah.
long ago, like in back in 2010. But man, it's so unfortunate. It's such a valuable resource for people like us that require, like, you know, background music, things like that for anything that we do, and just a repository of said soundtracks that we don't really have access to. It's just such a shame. I love any resource that kind of, like, just a massive resource. Like, yeah, they said they had like 1,300 copyright claims. That's so unfortunate.
I mean, when we get one or two, because we got, you know, pop for a reaction stream and there's a clip of an ad playing or some licensed music playing, that's a headache. When it just happens to us once or twice, once in a while, I can't even comprehend having over 3,000 of them. Like, geez, I just can't. And Cheeto Cobra is here in our live audience chat with a big brain idea, saying, "Look, if I were Doug Bowser, I would have gone to Gilva Sunner and offered them to manage a Nintendo Music YouTube channel."
It's
right.
It's Nintendo. It's the Japanese offices. That's what it is.
It's definitely
It's all that is.
Can't really do much. We can't really do much about it now, unfortunately.
Yeah. So, the thing is, I think there's a lot of things connected with what's going on recently on YouTube, between what happened to I'm blanking on his name, major anime YouTuber dealing with
I don't know his name, but I know what you're talking about.
Totally not Mark. Him going through all that and the reveal of, you know, geo blocking which prevents your videos from going up to different countries, which the major publisher, the major channels have apparently, but it's not widely available to all. And this was revealed to him and he made it, you know, a viable thing. And then as someone was mentioning, and I was going to bring this up as well, when I was trying to question, there's also Suede, who does Pokemon reviews for every single episode. But ShowPro, the owners of the Pokemon anime, have come up with a new technique that if Japanese companies start doing this, this is really not great for YouTube. So for those who aren't aware, according to Suede, ShowPro has developed a technique that basically allows any Japanese companies, if they see you using their IP, they can take down your entire channel legally in the space of 3 months, and there's nothing anyone can do. All it takes is two steps. Step one, create a rudimentary small claim in Japan, aim it at the offending creator, and send it to YouTube, demanding the videos be taken down. Make the fine too big to ignore, but too small to be worth legal fees. Make it confusing and obtuse. Step two, since it's legal proceedings, YouTube steps back and washes their hands. The videos go down instantly with no option to counterclaim. The YouTuber is forced to go through you in your country. This is near impossible without expensive representation. The takedowns become strikes whether or not the damages are paid, and the channel is gone. And that's all it takes. And for example, for them, ShowPro demanded that his videos be taken down and for him to pay 0.02 yen per view. And that's effectively what happened to his channel and took it down.
That's just so messed up.
Yeah. So if YouTube made geo-blocking available to everybody, it would not be an issue. We could avoid Japan because our stuff is not meant for Japan. Their stuff is not meant for Japan.
Just, right.
And it's what we all do is under fair use in those cases. So
it's so unbelievably gross.
Yeah. And this, and I believe, I'm pretty sure that would also protect Gilvis Honor if they could use geo blocking for the music.
Right. Yeah. So it's, there is a bit of a silver lining to all this, not a huge one, but so Gilvis Honor is shutting down what's left of their channel this coming Friday. So, you know, make your peace with it now. But there's a bit of a silver lining in the fact that both Sega and the Pokemon Company are doing what Nintendo don't in this case. Right amidst all this happening, Sega came out and released both the Phantasy Star Online 2 New Genesis and Sonic Mania soundtrack on Elite Four. For Sonic Mania, it's up on Spotify. And PSO is available to stream and download on various music services with more OSTs on the way, they say, which is really cool. And then for their part, the Pokemon Company made it's unfortunately named, but the Pokemon DP sound library available for personal, for it's, you can listen to the music and download it for use in personal video music and music creation, which is kind of surprisingly progressive for the Pokemon
company. Yeah,
it's not the first time they've released Pokemon music, to be fair. The
crazy thing is not just music, it's sound effects too.
Yeah,
really,
which is really cool.
That is a whole massive tool for people. Just,
yeah, good point, Derek. Yeah, it's the sound library, so it's both music and sound effects. Now, in the fine print for this, it does say this could be for a limited time. So if you want to take advantage of this, you may want to do it sooner rather than later, because there's no guarantee they'll keep this up forever. But it is really cool that both Sega and the Pokemon Company are going out of their way to make their music more widely available, even as Nintendo does everything they can to take their music away from everyone. So, yeah. Bit of a silver lining, but not enough of one. Can you imagine the money Nintendo could make by monetizing their music from their various games? Like, I'm not even sitting here and saying, oh, Nintendo should just make all their music available for free. I wish they would, but they could monetize it. And, or they, you could have a Nintendo Spotify channel. You could have a Nintendo music, a subscription service.
So many
ways. I would subscribe to that. Like, there are so many ways they could monetize all this incredible music in their games, but they're just sitting on it and not letting anyone have it. And it's just, it sucks.
Just leaving that money on the table and everyone's disappointed about it. Like, so much potential, so many different ways they can go about making this happen, and they choose not to. And as other companies show them up by offering services that you just mentioned, Sega and Pokemon, so frustrating.
And as our former TNT guest Lucas Thomas in our live audience patron chat says, hopefully the company's doing the right thing, or hopefully these companies doing the right thing will influence Nintendo eventually. I hope so, but it just seems as though NCL, the Japanese branch of Nintendo, are so set in their ways that it's hard to have hope, in my opinion, that they will be influenced to do the right thing in this case. But
Nintendo tends to march with the beat of their own drum. I doubt they'll really be influenced by anybody being so proactive. So,
yeah,
it's lovely. It's fun to be optimistic, but.
No, as a Nintendo fan, you know not to be optimistic on certain things. Like, you can look at certain things and be super excited about what they do, and you can look at other things and just know that, like, nah, they're not fixing this.
Yeah. And you know what? There could be a monkey's paw situation that we're maybe avoiding here that I hadn't thought about. Rob Arman X makes a good point in our live audience chat saying, let's be real, they'd make the service and drip feed it song by song one a month. And I can totally see that happening. Like, this month, get ready, the title screen theme from Kirby Superstars being added to Nintendo Music this month. Get ready, something dumb like that. Yeah, it would be a drip feed of one song a month. So maybe we're better off without that. That's true. sad day for video game music fans, especially Nintendo music fans. But props to Sega and the Pokemon Company for going out of the way to make their music more available to all of us, because video game music should be preserved, should be widely available and listened to. Nintendo, get it together. Do the right thing. Don't make it so hard for us to love you. We love you, but why you make it so hard? Okay. Well, let's see here. Let me check in on the Super Chat situation really quick, but I think we've pretty much said everything we can about the Gilva Sunner issue. Yep. Here we go. So we have $2 from Sonic and Mega Man 531. Thank you so much. Saying Fury Bowser from Mario versus Calamity Ganon from Zelda. That's a good one.
Fury Bowser.
I'm siding with Fury Bowser.
Probably going to say Calamity Ganon. If we're taking to the fact that Calamity Ganon can take control of other machines, like the
yeah. True.
But
from a gameplay standpoint, they're both like piss easy to fight.
That's the funny thing.
It's more like you have to take the gameplay element out of it because they're both such easy fights. I'm gonna agree with you, Daniel. I think Calamity Ganon's ability to infect and control things through Malice probably gives him the edge. The Guardians and
I mean, yeah, he has the Guardians, but if you go in a blank space, Bowser has more ability because they just wiped out entire islands and had them covered in goop. Bowser, Ganon's infection also leaves things as they were. They're corrupted, but they're there. Bowser just wipes out completely.
It does depend on the setting, because you pretty much only fight Fury Bowser in like the water and in some of the islands, and right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a hard one.
I feel like
you're gonna go Bowser to ride Fury Bowser into battle. That'd be fun.
Yeah,
it would be. I also feel like Ganon has wins the intent battle here. You know, Bowser's like, he's a villain, but he's like, you know, a lovable villain. He doesn't really want to destroy everything. Calamity Ganon is malice and hatred incarnate, right? Like, he wants everything to end. He wants to control everything. And I just feel like Bowser just wants to be invited to the party most of the time. Right?
Fury Bowser is rage incarnate.
True. True. This is a good one.
Yeah, it's hard because Calamity Ganon doesn't have an actual form. It's more ethereal than anything. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to beat something like that unless you have the help of the four beasts.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. It's a hard one.
Yeah, I don't think there's a wrong answer here. I'm going Ganon, but I don't think I can see where Derek's coming from too. Thank you for I love all these
characters. I wonder how well Ganon would have taken over Hyrule if they didn't have all the ancient weapons hanging around that he could infect, because he doesn't infect anything else. True. Otherwise, it's just a legion of monsters. So
that's true.
I don't know.
He's just goop.
Hey, VGA Fanatic in our live audience patron chat says, "Hey, GVG crew, my birthday is on Sunday. Ooh. Could I get a shout out before the show ends?" Well,
yeah, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Yeah, hope you Have a great one. Spend it playing lots of video games. Get some cool stuff. Eat some great food. But yeah, happy almost birthday, man. Thank you for letting us know.
Yeah.
And
let us know the kind of cake.
Yes, definitely let us know next week or, you know, whenever, when how it goes. All right. Next up is $5 from Jacob Tucker. Thank you very much. Saying every time Nintendo does something shitty, they do something awesome to make us forget and vice versa. They have us completely by the balls. Where's the lie?
It's true.
Where's the lie? Mm-hmm. They know they can get away with this stuff because we love their games and their IPs. So you're totally right.
We truly are totally Nintendrones.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's Nintendrones, Xbox, and Sony ponies, right? Is that how all three
was it? I don't think I've heard of Sony ponies, but
I've heard that one.
Oh, okay.
I've heard, yeah, that's what I've always heard. Is there another,
not that I know of, I just never heard of that one.
I think it's the funniest one. Sony ponies is so weird. And Stadians. Are there Stadia fans that Stadium. I didn't even know there were enough Stadia fans out there to have a collective
have name. A title.
Cheetah Cobra says PS Tools. I've never heard PS Tools. I like Sony ponies more personally. All right, well, we do have one more news story for the day, and this is just some good vibes to take us out of Wednesday. This is just really cool. A rare example of a fan project making it to the finish line and impressing the hell out of all of us. So let's get that up on screen. And I wish our good friend John Cartwright were here to talk about this with us, because as you all know, he loves Resident Evil 4. I mean, we all love Resident Evil 4. It's one of the best games of all time. But the fan-powered Resident Evil 4 HD project is now complete. And they've released a final trailer showing, you know, all the enhancements and visual polish it's gotten, along with instructions for installing it. But you have to have the Steam version, so you do have to own the game on Steam to use this mod, or to use these HD textures. But I checked out the trailer for this, and God, you guys, like, this is
so
amazing.
Crisp.
It is very, so, very clean looking. I like it a lot.
Great.
Well, you guys heard what they did in order to up-res some of these textures, right? They went to the places they got reference photos for when they were developing the game, and retook them so they could get those same reference photos just in HD. Like, these guys were dedicated.
Dedication, yeah.
Fan projects impress the hell out of me like this. I'm so impressed by mods and, you know, unofficial fan projects that just improve the base game. Like, just the creativity and the passion and the skill of fan bases never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah. I've never finished Resident Evil 4, so this
might be the
time to do so. When things slow down a bit, this might be my chance. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now you can avoid Ashley in HD. What more can you ask for?
I never found her to be that annoying. I just found it was funny how much she got kidnapped. Uh-huh. But God, I will always remember in college, this game coming out, renting it from the local video store, just playing it nonstop all weekend. Totally missed all my assignments that week, that one Monday, but beat this 20-hour game in a single weekend. And I don't have that. I don't do that too often. So it is insane just how addictive this game can be.
Right, right, right. No, it really is. I'm not even the hardcore Resident Evil fan myself, and RE4 is just still one of the greatest games. It's so good, and this would be the way I'd want to play it if I were to replay it. By the way, I'm posting the link to the trailer in our YouTube chat as well as our Patreon chat if any of you want to check it out. But this, to me, to my mind, is the way to play this game if you haven't yet, or if you're, you know, angling for a replay. It's so incredibly impressive what they've managed to pull off here. So. Yeah, I don't think there's too much to say about this other than the fact that it exists, it's finished, and it's awesome. And hats off to the people behind this for making it to the finish line. It's really cool.
There's something happening because the Bloodborne remake is done. We got Rob Arman X's Persona 4 remake.
Yeah.
We got this now. Like, how many, like, man, fans are on top of it. Like, we got all these other regular games coming out at this time, and now we got all these fan games coming out to check out, too. It's like, holy crap.
Yeah. No, it really, it's amazing. As I said, the drive of the fan community to go above and beyond never ceases to amaze. And you see that really manifested in communities like Sonic as well, with all these amazing fan games, and it's just incredible. But yeah, so it's out now. You can go find the instructions to install it if you want for the Steam version. And before we wrap up, though, I did forget that we got a couple of updates on some of the stories, or a couple of the stories we talked about today. So really quick, I want to run through this. I think it was Juan Delgado. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention this at the time. But Juan Delgado actually posted that there was a bit more to the Gilva Sunner story than we realized. And this comes from Old Classic Gamer on Twitter, saying, "As much as I respect Gilva Sunner as an uploader, ever since the original post in 2019, he never provided evidence that it was really Nintendo who took down these soundtracks. Reminder, if you upload Nintendo content and takedown notices only have Nintendo written, it's fake." That I wasn't aware of, and I can't prove the veracity of what Old Classic Gamer is saying, but it seems to me that Nintendo, that is very much in line with their usual behavior to go after, you know, people who provide their music on YouTube and claim their music. But apparently there's a chance it's not actually Nintendo and it's someone who's just saying they're Nintendo. I don't know either way, but I did want to offer that perspective just in case. So do with that what you will.
Yeah, I don't know.
And to go back to the Activision Blizzard acquisition situation, I did want to mention that Jeff Keighley, host of the Game Awards and overall industry big shot, has heard from multiple people that there are a few other big video game deals in the final stages of negotiations, and he says it's going to be an interesting year. So it seems as though we're not done with the whole consolidation thing. I don't want to get into the weeds about speculating what that, you know, who might be acquiring who, because we've already done that.
We'll just see what happens.
We'll see what happens, but I did want to drop that little piece of information there because I forgot to mention it at the time. With that said, we are just about at the end here, but we do have a couple more super chats, or at least one more super chat. First is from Black Ninja for $2, saying you can go with Bowser to play golf. Ganon, I don't know. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel like, again, Fury Bowser is scary as hell, but Bowser overall is more approachable and wants to party, play sports. Can't really see Ganon doing any of those things other than, you know, no, really anything. I don't think he's not in any sports related type things. So the closest thing would be home run contest in Smash. So
I guess Bowser does have the title of God Slayer while Ganon does not. So that's a point for Bowser.
That's true. God Slayer Bowser is the best name. I love it. All right. Well, that is our last super chat for today, which means that we have officially made it to the end of episode 185 of Today's News Tonight. But of course, before we head out, I do want to get, I want you to tell everyone, Ben, where they can find you on the internet. But also, I like to do this with some of our guests whose names I don't know the origins of. Did Hudio come from? Explain the origins of Hudio, please.
All right. So when I was in, I think, fifth or sixth grade, which might expose how young I am, I was really obsessed with this anime you might have heard of called Sword Art Online. Of course. I was really into the idea of, like, what if I was in the game? What would my name be? So the main character is a combination of his first and last name. And somehow the conclusion of that for me was Hudio. And it's just stuck with me since then. So
very cool. I love it. Nice. I love it. Well, thank you for that little story. I just love hearing how people come up with their internet names. But please do tell. First of all, thank you so much for being on the show with us. It's been a blast and an honor having you here with us.
This is a dream come true. I've been watching you guys, like I said, since I was like 14, so 6 years. And this is really surreal for me. So I'm happy to be here.
Thank you so much. The honor's all ours, man. And thank you for following our work for as long as you have. And it's, you know, we, as I've said before, we all just see ourselves as regular guys who love to talk about games. And so it's our honor to have you, you know, and people in our audience here on the show with us. So thank you.
And I think that humbleness is what makes you guys so great. But as for where you can find me, I only really have a Twitter at @HudioR on Twitter. That's it.
Awesome. Yeah, well, definitely follow Hudio on Twitter and show him some love. And thank you all for hanging out with us for today's episode of Today's News Tonight. We love doing this with you. And as I say at the end of every episode, we just love and appreciate all of you out there so much in all of our communities who want to see us succeed and provide constructive feedback. That goes to all of you in our Discord and our subreddit and everywhere. thank you so much for everything you do, and for all of your just generous attention and donations. Thank you a million times. But as always, we do have to give a special thank you to all of our patrons at the producer tier and above for helping to make everything we do here happen, because without you, it would not be happening. So thank you so much. And as always, we also have to give an extra special, super amazing thank you to all of our patrons at the executive producer tier and above. And those fine, wonderful, amazing, incredible folks include Brandon Bovia, Rob Arman X, Fangs, Dan and Twistle, Z Patty, Hyrule Hermit, Sky Blue Flames, Eastman 23, Adam O'Sullivan, Octopuppet, Richard Herrera, Michael Phone, The D-Pad, Vesmio, Waffle King, BeerJ373, Critter XD, Kitty Kong Facts, Angel Martinez, Vedran Hotik, Joshua Hunter, Benny Yao, Sapphire, Azran127, Black King, Pagrima, Geller, Joseph Rutkin, Titus Malvolio, Geeky Griffin, Lucky Wonderfish, Kyle, Top Dog 23100, Young Ben Kenobi, Doug Shomix, Andrew Medeiros, Becca, Rox the Cat, Killamox, Eddie B, Kai Ed, Kit Fisto, Kenneth Lee Stingle, Jessica Toad, Deaneth, Sci-Fi Lullabies, Michael McCaw, Matthew Wong, Goron Amber, Straightlace, Justin Matthews, Hooby, Too Much Spaghetti, Mega Conrad, Escaron 809, Ryaner, Captain Finlandia, 60 Minutes in 60 Seconds, Nathan Steele, Spicy Panned Otter, The Game Orb, Dano the Artist, Super Gamer Dude 101, Grantles, Ravelox, Synchro Lord, Rosa Pardo Bowling, Pasties Mom, Kane Woolley, Skull Kid Tiger, Darksteel 01, Jason Uloa, Jaden Buck, Phantom Project, Cystic Warrior 29, DJ Jurassic, Dinner Sonic, Darik, Jeff Ed, Blaze Star 25, Stag Nasty, Mumbling Yeti, Cameron Sharp, Screamo Shaman, Mason Riley, Keel, Santi the Person, Brendan Hesse, Hustlebun, Noah Fitterer, Calvin Atkinson, Hinaru 77, Brooke Obscura, Anthony Wilson Jr., Eddie Zacian Land, and finally, last but certainly not least, Willow Pingree. Thank you all so much for your incredible support and generosity, just supporting everything we do here at GVG. And if you'd like to know how you can get on that list and take advantage of so many other perks we offer to our patrons, head over to patreon.com/GVGaming, where you can support us for as little as $1 a month, which gets you into our Discord community, the best damn gaming community on the internet, bar none. And $5 a month gets you into our live audience tier, where you can interact with us and our special guests in various events throughout, everything we do. And we do a lot of live audience stuff. It's a lot of fun. You can see it right here on the stream. It's private chat. It's super cool. Either way, though, just keep in mind that when we hit 75,000 subs right here on YouTube, we're giving away a free Switch OLED to one lucky winner. All you have to do is be subscribed when we hit 75K. And I will leave you with a tease that on Friday's episode of TNT, we're doing something pretty cool. It's going to be pretty exciting. You won't want to miss it. So definitely make sure to be back here on Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific for the next episode. We're really excited. But that's all from me today. Thank you all so much for hanging out. And good night and good vibes. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again.